The best in regional sports from Southeast Michigan. WLEN Adrian, HD2, W243 AD, 96.5, The Cave.
And welcome, Saints Sports Weekly. Jeff Bowman here with you. 96.5 The Cave, 965thecave.com. Along with Coach Fred Smith. I want to thank our sponsors, as always, Siena Heights University and Magic Fountain Auto Wash. Fred, good to have you in.
Yeah, it's great. It's just so neat to be in the studio with everybody. It's just made it so much more of an intimate type broadcast.
Missed last week, but you got your Mastodon hat.
Yeah, I did. I went up there to support my niece as the AD at Purdue Fort Wayne, and so sorry to the listeners. I know how much they miss me, but I miss them too up at Chrysler Arena.
That was pretty nice, though, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. It was good to, certainly just watch a game. And now, as a former coach, I know everything. I watched them again. The Wolverines I'm talking about against Eastern Michigan, and I analyze both teams, so I'm out there for consulting.
There you go. Well, this is a bowling night, women's bowling night, as we've got Coach Charles Kane in with us, and he brought along one of his bowlers, also Paige Westergaard. So good evening to both of you.
Good evening. Thanks for having us.
Yeah.
Good evening. I'm excited to be here. Thank you for having me.
All right. So we're going to probably have to get you a little closer, but we're good. Just to let you know. So, Coach, you had a busy weekend, Friday and Saturday, but you didn't have to travel far. That's the great thing about this past weekend.
That is a great thing, yep. Having to have two tournaments on our schedule that are basically home events. Really nice to not have to travel, get on the bus at O'Dark early. Though I'm still recovering from the long, both days are pretty long.
Yeah, that's a bad thing about it. It was a long day, but the good thing is, your travel was a lot better than having to get on a bus. And
definitely a lot cheaper.
That's for sure. Well, how was the weekend for the ladies on both sides? So it was the Halo and the AC, so you got your Adrian and also the Siena. So it's nice bringing in that many teams. Do most teams stick around for both days?
We only had a couple of teams that only bowled Friday, and then we had two different teams, like Olivet, come in and bowl on Saturday.
Okay.
So it went real well. Our women on Friday at the AC Open finished sixth. Not too bad. Again, much more competitive than, in season past. So did really well there. And then on Saturday, the girls finished fifth, and we had one of our juniors, Megan Helpman, finish sixth, which is just outside the top five for all tournament team. Unfortunately, she missed a 10-pin in the 10th of the last game to finish just outside the top five.
That's tough. Well, Paige, how did you like this weekend?
Definitely a little long. I'm still getting used to the long tournament days. But, I had a lot of fun. I really liked the girls and the team a lot, and I didn't bowl too bad myself. So it was a lot of fun.
So you are a freshman from Sterling Heights?
Yes.
So it is probably a little bit different getting used to the collegiate side of it compared to your high school bowling weekends, especially back-to-back days of tournaments. It's a little longer than you've been used to.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I started bowling my freshman year of high school, so the sport is still pretty new to me, and the tournaments are almost twice as long as the high school ones, and it's just bowling every day too for practice. It's definitely a huge transition, but I'm getting used to it. I'm adjusting pretty well.
Yeah, so you just picked up the game. How did you all of a sudden decide I'm gonna try bowling?
I always loved bowling. I had a little plastic ball. I got one for Christmas when I was younger, so I would go all the time with my grandma. And I don't play any winter sports. I played softball and volleyball in high school.
Whoa.
So I wanted to do it for fun with my friend because her mom wanted her to do a winter sport, and we both are awful at basketball, and ice hockey's a little expensive. I mean, bowling gets a little expensive now, but so we both picked up bowling for fun, and, you know, it just clicked for me, and who would have guessed that I would be bowling in college now? Yeah.
So what high school did you go to in Sterling Heights?
I went to Regina High School.
Okay. All right. So how did you end up bowling in college, and how did you end up at Siena Heights? Give us a little synopsis of how that all came about.
Yeah, so I picked up bowling pretty well in high school. I was a pitcher in when I played softball, so, you know, a lot of it was similar. And I kind of started liking bowling a lot better, you know, being indoors, being able to eat sometimes. And that became my new passion. I always loved practicing and going out to the tournaments and stuff. And I didn't really feel that way about softball anymore. So I looked at colleges for bowling. I knew Sam, who's on the men's bowling team now. So I reached out to Siena, did a tour. I got to practice with the girls, spend the night, and I really liked it. I really liked the girls. And I really liked the school, so, yeah.
Paige, when you were in high school, you said that you started by being a volleyball player, softball player. Did you continue to play three sports in high school? How long did you keep them all up?
I only played volleyball my freshman year. Because I only played in middle school, really, so I wasn't, like, real good at volleyball. But I played travel softball for a long time.
Oh, so that was kind of your...
Yeah, like I think 7 or 8 years and, you know, playing t-ball and all of that. So softball, that was my sport for the longest time. So I played softball up until my junior year because my senior year summer I wanted to focus on bowling.
Good for you.
But I always stuck with bowling all 4 years.
Now, Regina High School, they're in the Catholic League, correct?
Yes.
And where is Regina? Is that located in Harper Woods, or where is it now?
It used to be Harper Woods, and then they moved to Warren, I think, 2007.
See? That's how much I've been out of it that long. So,
well, you didn't recruit an all-girls school very often.
No, that's
probably true.
And how was that? You know, did you go to parochial school your whole life?
No, I went to public school up until going to Regina. So.
Wow.
It was definitely pretty strange for me at first, and it's an all-girls school as well.
Right.
So that transition was different too, but I really liked it.
What else, you know, when you were looking at schools, what else attracted you to Siena, for example, academically? Do you have a declared a major? Or?
Yeah, I'm a biology major, and I talked to a lot of the faculty here. They have something called a academic competition scholarship day. I did that my junior year, so I met with some of the faculty and staff, and their biology program really stood out because they're hands-on, like, from the get-go compared to other schools. And I like the liberal arts. I'm an art minor as well, and I met with the faculty as well, and I really liked the different classes they provide, and all the faculty are so nice. They're so welcoming.
You know, you're made to order for Siena Heights here. Coach Keene does it again.
I had very little to do with it, to be honest. I think she was set on Siena to begin with, and, you know, being able to bowl, I think, was just a cherry on top of everything.
Yeah. Well, and that's one of the things I was just going to ask, Coach, is, you know, what does Paige bring to the table for this team for you?
As one of our freshmen, she came in with some solid fundamentals. She'd been doing work with some really good coaches at TurboTech out in Sterling Heights. Is it Sterling Heights?
New Baltimore.
Yeah. You know, they have a couple of lanes there, and they have coaches that give lessons, including Andrew Anderson, who's on the men's tour right now. He's out of Holly. So she's been working some with really good coaches and gotten some solid fundamentals. So coming here, she added a good solid core. It's now just giving her that college experience. Excuse me. You know, as we've mentioned before, right, the difference between high school and college bowling is huge.
Yes.
So now it's just getting her on these tougher patterns, getting the games under her belt, and kind of learning how the patterns change over the course of a tournament.
Is that pretty tough for you, especially just learning the patterns and then, again, how they change throughout the tournament?
Oh, yeah, for sure, because high school, it's the same pattern, and maybe for regionals it changes to a slightly harder pattern, but it's nothing like the college pattern. So when I quit softball, my senior year, I really focused on going to tournaments like Junior Gold, MJMA that have the harder oil patterns and trying to get some experience. But I think that's been the hardest thing so far with transitioning after, you know, how many games and, you know, using knowing what balls to use. Yeah.
How many bowling balls do you have?
I have six.
Say that's. I love asking that question. I got to tell you, and I know I always tell stories when Coach first came on and I was the AD, and I was such an expert in bowling. No, I learned a lot, and one of the things I didn't realize is we couldn't just take vans to events because the weight of the bowling balls. Like, we got to begin, and now even storing these bowling balls, I mean, we had some issues that you never would dream that they had that many balls. And just to figure it out, you have 8 to 10 bowlers and count those, the weight. Then we realized that there's just no way we could, we had to take buses.
Yeah, you say they average, you know, average 6 balls a person, 2-3 ball bags. You're looking at 50 pounds a bag. So that's 100 pounds a bowler. You've got, you know, 20 bowlers. That's a lot of weight.
Yeah. I mean, you learn these things. That's the AD stuff. But I know we have Coach here, and he's been our only bowling coach at Siena. And he's he started it. We had nothing. There was nothing here without Coach. And I, you know, when I see him, I call him Charles. But, you know, without Charles, we have nothing. And our probably was great for Lenawee Rec this weekend, right? They had both events, I assume.
Yep, and the house was full both days.
And so that relationship between Siena and Adrian College and Lenawee Recreation is a good one, you know, for a variety of reasons. And we said this the last time, the atmosphere at these are really, really cool.
Yeah, it gets pretty loud when you got all the teams cheering and all the parents. Sometimes it can be kind of overloading the senses, but I wouldn't trade it for anything.
Well, and that is, I mean, so how many, there was what, 15 at each, 10 at each?
Well, we had 14 men's teams and 10 women's teams on Friday, which 24 lanes fills the house. Then we had 12 men's teams and 10 women on Saturday. And we had a pair, in case a lane broke down or something. Which poor Darren Grewan, who's the proprietor of Len Rec, and he also is the head coach at Adrian, he was sweating bullets for a bit, hoping on Friday that we had no major lane issues because we didn't have any extra lanes available. But everything went smooth, and if you haven't experienced a college tournament, you need to at least once. It is just, it's electric.
Well, and I think, you know, as you mentioned, Darren being a coach at AC and then also owning you know, he's such a big proponent of bowling as well. You know, I love talking to him about that. And you know, he just wants to grow the sport and grow the game. But it's got to be nice when you have somebody that owns the business that is also so passionate, especially about the college side. I mean, you probably know a lot of bowling operators in your area, Detroit area, and you've ran through, but you know, a lot of them worry about, okay, I got all my house leagues and my youth and all that, but kind of the college sport is probably foreign to some of them.
Sure.
But to be able to have a guy like Darren that really is passionate about the college side, for you and your teams coming in, it makes it a lot easier probably for you to have somebody that you know is especially got your back and the most part of everything that's going on.
Oh, absolutely. I am, you know, over the years, this is my 13th season at Siena, and Darren and I have had a good relationship from, you know, when he first started coaching at Adrian. You know, before that, he was running the pro shop at Lenawee Rec, so I got to know him from that standpoint. Just a great guy, and I agree with you 100%. He is just so passionate about the sport and college bowling in particular. That, I mean, he's just been great. And it's been easy to work with him. He'll bend over backwards, you know, for everything we need. And just does a fantastic job.
Yeah.
Plus, the food there isn't bad.
Yeah, it is. I think they've done a great job. You know, I'm down there eating lunch all the time. My question, I guess, I don't know if this is a bowling day, not just women's bowling day, right? Or is this... Because I wanted to talk a little bit about the men's team, too.
That's up to Coach. I know this.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. I'd talk about bowling all day.
Yeah. Well, and the reason is I don't know what, you know, what our people have planned. But both teams, you've had a WAC tournament, and then, is that right, a WAC, whatever it's called?
Two WAC, right?
We've had two WAC jamborees and two other tournaments so far.
So, in essence, with both teams, how did you think you were going to do versus how you've started out with both teams?
All right, well, let me start by saying my answer every year is I'm cautiously optimistic. It's like communism. Looks good on paper, but once the season starts, then we'll actually know how it works. You know, we had the largest incoming class overall in the history of the program, and the largest men's class in particular. We had 8 freshmen come in this year, and collectively the most talented group of bowlers on the men's side that we've had ever. So, again, had reason to be optimistic. But again, the transition from high school to bowling, to college, you just never know how they're going to adapt, how quickly. But like our WAC one, we had 2 freshmen do outstanding. We had one of them, Paul Scheuer, make the all-tournament team, his first college tournament, which was really great to see. So they've been, you know, making our upperclassmen step up their game because, right, only so many spots on varsity.
Right.
Everyone wants one. So we finished 2nd at the WAC one, which was our for our highest finish.
Yeah.
At the WAC one. Then we finished 6th at our following tournament. Then WAC 2, we finished 5th. We were 2nd most of the day, and then they got fatigued at the end of the day and kind of had a couple of bad sets that had us drop a bit. But again, we were competitive, which is something, again, like we mentioned, you know, at ZZ's a couple weeks back. Indiana Tech, Lawrence Tech, Madonna, Concordia, Aquinas. We have the toughest conference in the NAIA, hands down. I mean, I think the Mid-South is strong too. But, you know, Indiana Tech women were last year's national champs. The men were the inaugural champs. What can you say? Lawrence Tech is ranked number 1 in the NAIA and USBC. I think they've won 4 out of 5 or 6 tournaments.
Wow.
So, yeah, so our men then then this weekend we finished 3rd on Friday. Again, we had a shot at it. Congrats to AC, their first win ever for their men's program. Their men bowled great all day. You know, we were right there again until the end. And then Saturday, our men finished 5th. I think there was a lot of fatigue. But we had Noah Tafanelli, a sophomore, win the individuals on Friday. He averaged 232 a game to lead.
Yeah, I saw
to
that.
Lead everybody.
That's awesome.
Oh, yeah, it was great to see it. Unfortunately, he suffered an injury on Saturday, so I don't know how long we're going to be without him.
Yeah. Gotcha.
A severe one?
I'm hoping not. You know, something with his knee during warm-up on Saturday.
Right.
You know, worst-case scenario, right? ACL, yeah. If it's something like that, who knows?
Yeah.
But we're hoping that it's not that serious.
Can I just interject? I know when Jeff starts waving at me, I know it's time for commercial. So just for our audience, in the WAC, how many teams participate in men's and women's bowling?
I believe we have 11 right now because Rochester University came back this year.
They did.
They declared
come back.
Varsity bowling, yep. And then we still do not have UNO.
Right.
They're still not bowling NAIA events. So,
oh, really?
Yep. Has to do with the NAIA rules on money, generally.
Right.
Their guys are talented enough that they bowl a lot of side tournaments and that could potentially interfere with eligibility. So, but they have a heck of a team from what I understand. So looking, I think, 11 on each side.
Do we have anybody outside the WAC join our conference or just WAC teams?
Just WAC teams for right now because when we had Spring Arbor,
right.
Bethel, and Huntington, the Crossroads finally had schools to form their own, to have bowling in their conference. So we lost them last year.
All right, so from the national point of view, from NAI, how many NAI schools are bowling men and women's? Do you know by chance?
Last year, I think we had 52 men's schools and 40 some odd women's schools. I don't know the exact numbers.
Yeah, but so the sport is growing then.
Correct. Absolutely. And we had schools added this year. I just don't know the exact numbers.
Well, you know, I know that you're, what, vice president of the NAI Bowling Association?
I've been on the executive council since the inception of it, which was probably, I think, 7 years ago. This summer was my last year as that. I stepped down to let some younger coaches, you know, take over, you know, get some new direction. I mean, we started it from nothing to getting a national championship in the NAIA. So I'm really proud of the work that we all did. So I did that. I was also sports chair for the WAC for bowling. And I stepped down again this summer, just my, you know, so much things to do in so little time. So Tom Osborne at Indiana Tech is currently the sports chair for the WAC. It just was time, you know, after doing it for 10 years, it's time for someone else to take over and get some, you know, new perspectives.
You know, I would want to say, though, that is work that all our coaches, that you've done as being a leader in the WAC, a leader in the NAI, building the sport that a lot of people don't know about, Charles, and I want to congratulate you on that. And you're right. It is time for, you know, you've done your thing, and you can now, you know, recruiting is so hard. And, you know, when you have 11 WAC teams, I don't know how many MIAA teams and how many high school teams in the state. There's a lot of them now, isn't there?
There's over 320, I believe, that now have bowling as a varsity sport.
That's awesome. Just unbelievable.
Yeah.
Yeah. So my next goal is to convince Sister Peg to build bowling lanes on campus.
That'd be awesome.
Yeah. There you go.
That's our inside joke.
You better hurry up.
Yeah. I know. It's just, yeah, absolutely. It's taken this long.
All right, well, we do have to take a time out, as Coach said, so we're going to take a quick one and come back and talk a little bit more. I do want to, you know, you touched on some recruiting you did and you learning the college game. I got some questions for that when we come back, as we're talking a little bowling here, Siena Heights style, right here on 96.5 The Cave, 965thecave.com.
The top online bachelor's degree program in Michigan is now offering a completely online MBA degree. The Siena Heights University MBA will help students hone skills and better develop their talents as ethical business innovators. Business graduates, as well as students from many other majors, including nursing and engineering, are good candidates for the Siena Heights MBA. And no prerequisite entry courses are required. Classes are enrolling now. To find out more, visit start.sienaheights.edu/MBA. Learn what the Siena Effect can do for you.
Here's a great driving tip. Avoid muddy, dirty roads, roads under construction, or really just anything that can make your vehicle dirty. Plain and simple. But if you can't, you must never avoid Magic Fountain Auto Wash. At Magic Fountain Auto Wash, you can save your vehicle from all the damage from that dirt and grime. Why allow the Michigan roads the chance to reduce the value of your vehicle when it can be prevented? Magic Fountain Auto Wash, with self-serve bays and touchless drive-thru, 3 locations in Adrian, Hudson, and Britton. Make dirty cars a thing of the past.
Want to stay home and finish your degree? One of the top online programs in the nation is right in your backyard. Siena Heights University offers affordable online undergraduate and graduate degree programs, as well as on-ground classes on our Adrian campus for those who want to commute. Financial aid may be available, and ask us about our Siena Tuition Advantage Price Certainty Plan. Stay home, save money, and finish your degree with Siena Heights University. Find out more at siennaheights.edu. At Siena Heights University, we make transferring easy and ensure you're on your best path forward. Study online with our nationally ranked program, or commute from home and get the traditional college experience by taking courses on our Adrian campus. Financial aid may be available, and ask us about our Siena Tuition Advantage Price Certainty Plan. Stay home, save money, and finish your degree with Siena Heights University. Visit siennaheights.edu and find out what the Siena Effect can do for you.
Looking for a place to host your next party, meeting, reunion, or reception? Let Siena Heights University be your local event destination. Siena Heights has facilities for almost every occasion and budget. Air-conditioned Benincasa Hall has seating for up to 250 people and is perfect for wedding receptions, anniversaries, and reunions. Need a special space for a birthday party? Dominican Hall provides large party rooms and a 125-seat auditorium for viewing videos and hosting a wide variety of entertainment. Have a smaller event? Siena Heights offers a variety of affordable, customized spaces on campus to fit your needs. Be sure to reserve your space now because all facilities are subject to availability. Siena Heights has also partnered with nationally recognized Chartwells to provide a delicious and wide-ranging menu of catering services, giving you a one-stop solution for your special occasion. To reserve your space or to learn more information about all the facility options at Siena Heights University, contact events at siennaheights.edu or visit siennaheights.edu/events. Siena Heights University, where Lenawee County meets.
And welcome back to Saint Sports Weekly. Jeff Bowman along with Coach Fred Smith. Every Monday night we do this, talk about all kinds of different things happening at Siena Heights. We always have a coach, a current, and try to have an alumni spotlight as well. And so we'll have that. We do have Coach Charles Kane in with us right now. Also Paige Westergaard, one of his freshman bowlers. And, you know, we talked a little bit about recruiting. We also talked about you, Coach, also the transition from high school to the college side. And Paige, you also talked about taking the summer and learning more than just what you did in the high school side. So, Coach, when you're out recruiting and you have some information from some of the kids that maybe want to come, do you like to look at them in some of the tournaments other than high school, that maybe there's a little tougher patterns of oil, or, you know, maybe to see how they adjust more than just what the high school side is as well?
Oh, absolutely. You know, you've got several tournament club, I guess you could call them clubs in Michigan. You've got MGMA. You've got the Great Lakes Junior Gold Tour, where they're singles tournaments, but they bowl on much tougher patterns than Michigan high school bowls on. So, yeah, being able to see them in that environment, again, bowling those types of events on those patterns give them a lot of great experience for college. Not that a high school bowler who hasn't competed on those patterns can't succeed. But, you know, again, someone who's acclimated and used to bowling on those type of patterns, just generally the transition will be easier for them. And then it's just a matter of managing the long days, right? Because our tournaments start at 8, 9 o'clock in the morning and don't end until 5 or 6. And the bowling is nonstop other than walking to the next pair of lanes. So it's a lot different than high school, and it takes a lot of work to get to that point.
And Paige, you had mentioned that. Is that something that really kind of helped you ease the transition a little better, was going to the Junior Golds and MGM just to be able to get that kind of just a little bit more of knowledge of how to kind of navigate some of those lanes?
Oh, yeah, for sure. Because at the time, I only really had 3 bowling balls, so it was even more difficult. And I think the first sport pattern I saw was an MGMA, and it was a 8-game tournament. And I don't think I've ever bowled that many games by myself before at a tournament. So seeing that was definitely a change. But going to those, and then after being able to work with the guys at Turbo Tech and getting tips from them, because they could put the same patterns out on those lanes, that helped a lot.
You know, this is a question that I have to both Coach and Olivia, but what I'm hearing here is there's a longer days, more stringent day. We have a young, one of our top bowlers, hurt his knee. So physically, as you come into Siena Heights in late August, September, do you have the kids do any type of conditioning or strength and conditioning program, Coach?
The last few years we'd worked with a gentleman at Siena who was kind of strength and conditioning coach for football. We had worked on some workout routines, weightlifting and cardio. This semester, because of the number of incoming freshmen I've had and trying to arrange schedules, We haven't really been able to do that this semester, but I'm hoping come January we'll be able to get schedules down so that we can do that. But, it's really important. A lot of people think bowling is arm strength, but like most other sports, it's really the legs and core. That's where we develop our ball speed and endurance, and once your legs go, it's difficult. So, yes, definitely a lot of cardio, a lot of leg and core-centric weightlifting, like squats and deadlifts and things like that, just to build up their leg strength.
Yeah, and that's key because a lot of people, probably don't think as much about, you go roll a few games and you're done, you have a pizza and you go home, but this is totally different than that. So, yeah, you do have to be in shape. And as you said, Paige, you got two, back-to-back long day meets on a Friday and a Saturday, you have to be in shape, or by the end of it, even Coach, you talked about the team kind of, losing a little bit of steam, and that's something that you don't think about, Paige, but that's something that you need to make sure as a team that that's part of the whole process, is trying to be in shape.
Oh yeah, a lot of the girls too have knee issues too, so I think going to the weight room and all that could help us significantly. But because I played softball, I feel like I've been able to acclimate to that environment better. And I am one to go to the gym as much as I can, too. So I always try to do that and try to run and keep my stamina up, because after the first tournament, I was like, oh, I should be hitting the gym a little bit more now.
Well, that's something that you don't think as much about. But, you got coming up, Coach, you're talking about you're heading to Bowling Green. That was kind of a newer one that was added.
Yeah, we added that last minute. Again, the last couple of years with COVID, we kind of had to cut our tournament short, because a lot of travel wasn't really expected of us or wanted,
right.
To try to keep COVID cases low. So we added an extra tournament just to, especially for our seniors, to give them, the best year they can get. Again, it's another opportunity for our freshmen to get more games under their belt and get us ready for postseason in, March.
Now, is Lawrence Tech hosting again this year, or didn't they host the Nationals?
Yes, I believe they're hosting the National Championships again at Five Star.
All right, so let me ask you a question. Of the 11 men's, 11 women's WAC teams, you have a series of WAC events, right?
Correct.
Many? About five or six?
We have four jamborees during the regular season, right. And then we have the conference championship.
And to determine who wins that championship, you have to weigh some of these events separately. How do you do that?
Right. Every jamboree during the regular season, schools earn points based on place to finish.
Gotcha.
And then you combine the men's points and the women's points for each school, and the team with the school with the most points after four events gets to host the WAC championship for that year. The last couple of years, it's been in Fort Wayne. Indiana Tech's won it. It's going to be a lot more competitive this year.
So when you get though to that conference championship, is that a standalone event, or does the other four events weigh in toward the championship?
It's a standalone event.
Wow. So it's all you're doing is to qualify, almost seed yourself then.
Yeah, to qualify for the national championship. The way it works right now within the NAIA, with six schools, a conference gets one automatic qualifier. If they have 12 or more, they get a second automatic qualifier. So when we had 12 plus schools, we would have our regular season champion earn one automatic qualifier, and then the WAC conference champion would get the second.
Gotcha.
If it was the same school, then our conference tournament runner-up would get that second qualifier.
So right now at 11, though, we're kind of caught short.
We only get one automatic qualifier. At large bid, I guess, would be the better term to use.
Yeah.
And so that's going to be the tournament?
Correct. They take the top 12 NAIA schools based on a point system that was developed by Bobby Brown, the coach of UPike. And then there'll be at-large bids given out for the other spots.
So how many total do they take then?
I believe it's going to be up to 16. It was 12 originally. There were six based on rankings and then 6 automatic qualifiers. But we're looking to expand to 16.
Now, taking it a step further, as we're also a member of the United States Bowling, Collegiate Bowling, right? USBC?
Correct.
And they have their own national championship. Are we still, do we still participate in, and that's a much larger championship, more teams are invited, so talk about that.
Correct. Yep, we are still a member of the United States Bowling Congress, so we are eligible to compete for their national championships. And how that works is they have a point system for where you finish during the season. And at the end of the season, the top 64 women's teams and the top 80 men's teams in their point system get automatic invites to sectionals. So there are 4 sectionals, and traditionally they're in Dayton, Chicago, Dallas, and New Jersey. And they're split, the field is split, those 64 women's teams. So you have 16 women and 20 men at a sectional. And then the top 4 teams after 64 Baker games over 2 days make the national championships.
That's tough. That's a lot of bowling.
So, yeah, 16 Baker games in the morning, then the break for lunch, 16 in the afternoon on Saturday, and repeat on Sunday. It's a lot of bowling.
Did you hear that?
Yeah. I've definitely heard from the other girls, even about the Hoosiers, too. So, you know, kind of looking forward to it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So one of the big things I was just going to ask, you know, when we were talking, just you talked about kind of feeling, you know, coming here and being able to bowl with the girls and hang out, that you really felt comfortable. Is that something that really, when you got here and did that, did you say, yeah, Siena's the place I need to be?
Yeah, and especially now that I've been here a couple months, like the people that I've met and the team that I'm on and all the other opportunities that I've been able to receive, I'm reminded every day, I'm like, I made the right choice. This is where I'm supposed to be.
Olivia, how do you guys relate to the...
Paige, Olivia's coming up next.
Oh, Paige, I'm sorry.
You're good.
Paige, I see your face, I know who you are, but I don't know names well. But how is your relationship, Paige, with the men's team, and how do you interact, or do you not interact much?
Some of my relationships are a little closer than others, but because it's a lot of freshmen, I see them a lot, especially right. Like welcome week and everything. I've been able to, you know, get to know them, and I knew some of the bowlers before going into Siena, and then also the elephant in the room, my boyfriend, is also a freshman on the team. So
I honestly didn't know that. So. Yeah.
I was going to spill the beans if she didn't.
Yeah, that was kind of a lead-in question. You didn't even know it, Coach.
Yeah, well, and the reason I'm saying is it's been wonderful for our volleyball programs. When we started men's volleyball, it's opposite. We started men's volleyball that they're opposite seasons, the same seasons, how they each work each other's events. They are so supportive of each other, and I didn't know if I'm sure the coach are juggling that. How many assistants do you have, and how do you handle that?
Well, I have a graduate assistant, Travis Marcus. He bowled with me for 4 years, and he stayed on to earn his MBA. So this is his second year. He'll be graduating with his master's in May. So this is his last year as a GA, and then we brought in a volunteer coach. She graduated from Adrian College last year. Her name is Kylie Middleton, and that's it. It's just us three.
So how do you juggle when you're at these big events, and where are you at? I mean...
Well, I guess it depends on the season. This year, I've been I've been solely with the men's varsity. Travis has been handling the men's JV team. And then Kylie's been brought on to work with the women. I think it's been easier having a female coach work with the female team just because she can relate to them a lot better than I can. I don't have any sisters, don't have any daughters, so sometimes it can be a little awkward. But having a female there has made it a lot easier. You know, they can go and talk to her about on and off problems on and off the lane, which makes it a lot more comfortable for everyone. But generally most days, you know, we're in tournaments, we're in the same building, but like at Bowling Green, the men will be in one house, the women will be in a different bowling center. Fortunately, it's only a mile away. So if anything major were to happen, I'd be able to get to the other center quickly. But that's becoming the norm with more and more teams coming on board, bowling more events. You'll have a lot of times where you have the men in one center, women in another, and you just have to really hope that you've done your preparations and you trust them that, you know, they're going to be able to do what they need to do and have a coach there that can help them when they struggle.
And with that, Paige, I mean, as far as, you know, coaching and learning is, you know, how different is the college practice compared to your high school? I mean, I was, you know, Coach and I stood up for the meeting, you know, watching you guys were doing some, you know, different spares you set up, the great way you can set pins up. You can do whatever the heck you want with it and, you know, work on things like that. Is it a lot tougher in a practice to really go over things than what you did at the high school level?
It's a lot. It's very different. My high school bowling, our bowling program in high school, it wasn't as good as our softball. Like, Virginia was known for their softball program, and bowling, not really, especially when I was there. A lot of their seniors had graduated, so it was, like, completely fresh, and there was no bowlers in the school whatsoever. So all the people who had joined the bowling team, we had one senior, and she went to go bowl at Madonna for a few years, but I don't think she bowls there anymore. But it was all just freshmen going in and just bowling for fun.
Right.
And then I caught on really well. I got good at it, so I kind of I feel like I don't want to be, like, too cocky, but I feel like I paved the way because I've been able to bring in other girls and more people. It's growing.
Right.
I feel like because when I was a freshman, we had just enough to have a varsity team, and when I graduated, we were able to have a varsity and a JV and then some, and I think it's still growing today. So.
And to get better, you had to do a lot on your own then.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Well, again, Paige, we appreciate your time with us tonight and, you know, continued success, that's for sure. And, you know, good luck with, you know, the rest of this year and, you know, keep it going and keep that grade at where it's at right now too.
Thank you.
That's why you're sitting at mic number four, because she's good at that 4 point. All right, well, we're going to take a timeout so we can come back and get a hold of Olivia LaRoe, one of Coach's former bowlers in the alumni spotlight here on Saint Sports Weekly here, 96.5 The Cave, 965thecave.com.
Want to stay home and finish your degree? One of the top online programs in the nation is right in your backyard. Siena Heights University offers affordable online undergraduate and graduate degree programs, as well as on-ground classes on our Adrian campus for those who want to commute. Financial aid may be available, and ask us about our Siena Tuition Advantage Price Certainty Plan. Stay home, save money, and finish your degree with Siena Heights University. Find out more at siennaheights.edu.
Here's a great driving tip. Avoid muddy, dirty roads, roads under construction, or really just anything that can make your vehicle dirty. Plain and simple. But if you can't, you must never avoid Magic Fountain Auto Wash. At Magic Fountain Auto Wash, you can save your vehicle from all the damage from that dirt and grime. Why allow the Michigan roads the chance to reduce the value of your vehicle when it can be prevented? Magic Fountain Auto Wash, with self-serve bays and touchless drive-thru, 3 locations in Adrian, Hudson, and Britton. Make dirty cars a thing of the past.
The top online bachelor's degree program in Michigan is now offering a completely online MBA degree. The Siena Heights University MBA will help students hone skills and better develop their talents as ethical business innovators. Business graduates, as well as students from many other majors, including nursing and engineering, are good candidates for the Siena Heights MBA. And no prerequisite entry courses are required. Classes are enrolling now. To find out more, visit start.siennaheights.edu/MBA. Learn what the Siena Effect can do for you.
Here's a great driving tip. Avoid muddy, dirty roads, roads under construction, or really just anything that can make your vehicle dirty. Plain and simple. But if you can't, you must never avoid Magic Fountain Auto Wash. At Magic Fountain Auto Wash, you can save your vehicle from all the damage from that dirt and grime. Why allow the Michigan roads the chance to reduce the value of your vehicle when it can be prevented? Magic Fountain Auto Wash, with self-serve bays and touchless drive-through, 3 locations in Adrian, Hudson, and Britton. Make dirty cars a thing of the past.
Looking for a place to host your next party, meeting, reunion, or reception? Let Siena Heights University be your local event destination. Siena Heights has facilities for almost every occasion and budget. Air-conditioned Benincasa Hall has seating for up to 250 people and is perfect for wedding receptions, anniversaries, and reunions. Need a special space for a birthday party? Dominican Hall provides large party rooms and a 125-seat auditorium for viewing videos and hosting a wide variety of entertainment. Have a smaller event? Siena Heights offers a variety of affordable, customized spaces on campus to fit your needs. Be sure to reserve your space now because all facilities are subject to availability. Siena Heights has also partnered with nationally recognized Chartwells to provide a delicious and wide-ranging menu of catering services, giving you a one-stop solution for your special occasion. To reserve your space or to learn more information about all the facility options at Siena Heights University, contact events at siennaheights.edu or visit siennaheights.edu/events. Siena Heights University, where Lenawee County meets.
And welcome back to Saint Sports Weekly. Jeff Bowman, Coach Fred Smith. Again, this being brought to you by Siena Heights University and also Magic Fountain Auto Wash. And we are talking bowling tonight. And again, we had Paige Westergaard, a freshman on the team, and Coach Kane. And now it's time for our alumni spotlight, Olivia Leroux. Olivia, welcome into Saint Sports Weekly.
Thank you.
So this is... When did you graduate? We were trying to figure that out for sure.
Yep, I graduated in 2019.
19, okay. You were close.
Close. And what years did you compete?
Oh, boy. All of them leading up to 2019. So 2019, what's that?
I started 2015,
the fall, and then finished the summer of 2019.
Yeah, 15 to 19, yeah. Okay.
So now, where are you from that got you to Siena Heights? Where did you go to high school?
I went to John Glenn High School in Westland, Michigan.
Okay. So what brought you and your bowling career to Siena Heights?
So I was reaching out. I looked at a few different teams. I also had a few friends that were on the Siena Heights bowling team. But then kind of just further talking with Coach Kane and checking out the school and everything, it seemed like a pretty easy decision that Siena was the place that was for me.
Did you always bowl, I mean, or did you play other sports too in high school?
Yeah, so I did. My main sport for most of my life was soccer. My sophomore and junior year of high school, I went through an ACL surgery on each knee due to soccer.
And oh boy.
So I did bowling my whole life. I started when I was like 5 or 6, but it wasn't always my main sport, my main competitive sport. And then kind of going after those injuries, it became more of my primary sport. I was pretty fortunate that I had a really good high school team that kind of skewed that competitiveness in bowling even more for me.
Coach, quick question for you then, because she brought up a good point, and then Paige talked about it as well, you know, being a softball player that transitioned into bowling. And do you find multi-sport athletes that, you know, kind of have that competitiveness outside of bowling, and then when they bring it into the bowling, is different than maybe somebody that's just, I'm a bowler. I grow up on Saturday mornings, and I learned how to bowl in leagues, and that's what I've done all my life. Do you see a difference in some of the other different competitive sides of a different sport transitioning into bowling when they do it?
Yeah, there's a small difference. Generally, you know, when they come multi-sport athletes, you know, with a competitive side of things. More importantly, when they're multi-sport athletes, obviously they're athletic. And even if they don't have a lot of bowling experience, their athleticness is going to carry them a long way because they're able to take coaching easier.
Right.
Because we're able to teach them things and their athleticness is going to allow them to perform those things and learn them much quicker than maybe someone who is just a bowler and play any other sports.
Yeah. Olivia, back to you again. You know, what did you study at Siena?
I studied sport management.
Okay. Is that the field you're in now?
A little bit. So the experience that I got, I currently am a kids director for a church in Wayne, Michigan. But I just made that transition. I was at the Canton Summit for a while, doing more of like the special events youth programming side of things. But all of that actually came from my internship that I had at Siena Heights through my program.
So where did you intern at then?
So I did my internship at Canton, at the Summit, okay. Summit on the Park in
gotcha.
Canton, and then it eventually turned into a job opportunity for me.
Nice. So what are some of your best memories maybe on and off of the lanes for your years here at Siena Heights?
Yeah, so me personally, just a lot of the time that I got with the team was very impactful for me. When you have like a team like that, that's so kind of close knit, you're kind of constantly doing stuff with one another. And some of the relationships that I formed are still some of my best friends. And I even come back a lot to be able to see, the team still and how they're performing at times. So all the bus rides were definitely big memories. The trips to sectionals were always a lot of fun, and just having those kind of bigger, amazing chances to see all the other teams that are around you and competing at just such a high level. But then even just the times that, like workouts and some of the laps that we were able to do at workouts and hanging out with each other throughout the day, it was a lot of great memories, honestly.
Coach, what, you got something? Some memories from her as well?
She's a bulldog. If you want to talk competitive, she is competitive to the core, which was no surprise that she studied sports management. And she, again, man, she attacked bowling with the same fervor that she attacked soccer, I imagine, and the way I think she attacks life in general. Just a great person all the way around, man. She did great in the classroom, was a heck of a student, and worked really hard on her game, really have nothing cross to say about Olivia. You know, sometimes she was too good, made everyone else kind of look a little sloppy.
Olivia, are you still bowling?
I bowl once a week, yeah.
Did you know sports management was where you wanted to go, or did you figure that out after your freshman year, or how did you evolve into that major?
Yeah, so I knew from the jump that sports management was the major that I wanted, but it was more of I didn't know what direction I wanted to take sport management with. So entering in, I took all my classes right away, knowing that I wanted that to be my major, but my teachers and professors there were more the ones that directed me towards the recreation sports side of things at the end of the day.
When you say you reference the Summit in your hometown, what is that? I mean, I don't know, so bear with me.
Yeah, no problem. So Canton Township is where the Summit is located, but that's the rec center.
Okay, is that out of
Canton? So
the rec center,
yeah,
being
it's working for the township.
So you're working for the township. So is it a bowling center? Is it, what is it? Is it a multi sport? See, Jeff, you can answer that question. I don't know. I was just curious.
No, it's a little everything, right? Yeah. Olivia?
Yeah, it's a rec center. So it has a gym. It has a workout area. It has a pool. It's more of like a gym that people can go to, but they run leagues such as like volleyball, basketball leagues, that kind of stuff still goes on there.
I don't know why on steroids. You know, liking it to something local, more like that. But again, so you know, your years. So, are you married, single? How is that going for you?
I'm married. Okay. I got married a year and a half ago, so I'm loving it so far.
Somebody,
only a year and a half in, so
somebody from here at Siena, or when you got out of school?
Nope. I actually started dating my husband out of high school.
Okay.
So we are a little over 7 years together now, but finally got married last year. So he's been along the ride with me. He sat through a lot of the bowling tournaments, which, bless his heart, because those can be a tough sport to be a spectator for. So,
well, congrats on that.
Thank you.
So you married your high school sweetheart. I mean, it sounds like an idyllic life here. So talk about your current job. You say you're working for a church now.
Yep. So within the last couple months, I work for a church in Wayne, Michigan called Lanterns Church. And I'm the kids director over there, so I get to hang out with mainly kindergarten through fifth grade, teach them about Scripture and just God, really, which is everything I could have asked for. It felt like an incredible journey that God even kind of put me on that track. So, but it's been great. It's a new church, which was a little nerve-wracking at the start of things, being able to be a part of the startup of that. But it's definitely a really purposeful job. It's awesome.
Well, and it sounds like, you know, what you had growing up and, you know, probably your what you learned here at Siena Heights as well, not only in the classroom, but, you know, being a faith-based education, probably led to where you're at now as well.
Yeah. Yeah, it's really incredible, honestly, like just to see all the help that I had at Siena, even some of the courses that they had you take. I remember a theology class in particular related around the Bible. Like it was really impactful to me, and I even look back at that class now and see how much it's affected me, but the teachers too, and just the way that a business management degree you don't always think would correlate amazing with working in a church, but a lot of the stuff I even learned in those classes taught me a lot of very good like routines and organization and budgeting. It's all still stuff that goes into helping run a church. So
life skills, there you go.
Yeah.
Well, we got about a minute left. So what's one thing that maybe we need to know about Coach Kane that a lot of other people don't, that you might know about him?
Something I might know about Coach Kane.
That maybe we should let the audience know.
I don't have anything bad to say about Coach Kane. He was someone that honestly was always there for me. I remember going into his office multiple times, and he was a big part of getting me through school. You know, he was a loving heart. He cared about the team a lot. And all I can really say is thank you to Coach Kane, because I don't think I would be where I was at if I didn't have the opportunity at Siena with him. So,
oh, you're welcome, Olivia. I wish we had more of you on the team.
Well, again, Olivia, thank you very much for your time. We appreciate some of your memories from Siena Heights that you had, and kind of filling in where you're at now. We appreciate what you're doing, especially with the youth at the church. So keep up the good work.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, best of luck. Stop in and say hi. I'm over in Sacred Heart. I'd love to meet you.
Oh, that would be wonderful. Next time I'm in, I will.
All right. Once again, that's Olivia LaRoe. Thank you very much for chiming in, letting us know for the alumni spotlight part. And again, we're just about against it, but Coach Kane, we appreciate once again you coming in, Paige. You know, great job coming in, and I'm glad we had to have you here instead of on the phone. And nice to meet you, and again, continued success for you.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us. It's always a pleasure.
Well, go get them this weekend, Bowling Green.
I'm excited.
Yeah.
I'm excited. We're going to be bowling against a lot of schools we haven't seen yet, so we'll get to test where we're at. And, again, cautiously optimistic.
That's right. Because you're communist. All right, Coach Gannigan, we appreciate it. And thanks to everybody out there listening. Once again, CN Heights University sponsors this, along with Magic Fountain Auto Wash. We're going to go to CBS programming in a second. And we got some Monday Night Football coming up right after this here on 96.5 The Cave, 965thecave.com.
Live, he's nationwide on CBS Sports Radio. This